Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit.
Recorded on Monday, August 8th, 2011. This is your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
We're all in
We're all together
room.
As promised.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. Here we are.
And he's back.
I'm back. Wait, what
Welcome.
Am I doing here?
Thanks again to Jason Applebaum, who was the other Jason.
Yes. He did a fantastic job being a Jason.
That was kind of offensive, I think. I called him the other. Or the I other called Jason. You the real the Jason.
I heard that. I was actually in the grocery store listening to the episode that came along.
I'm in support
and I literally
of that.
Stopped what I was doing and just went, ouch.
I felt so bad he's sitting here. I think that's what got him on this sort of tirade, too. He was kind of crotchety last week. He was like... And then he trashed my app.
Well, it's...
That's because I called him the other Jason.
Yeah, well, it was the arena, so, I mean, it does get... Maybe we're too nice in the arena. That's what I'm finding out.
We need to
be a little more brutal.
Well, I already know the results of the arena, and I got trounced. I'll say that. All right. Well, this week we're going to be discussing the Amazon App Store policies with our guest from Shifty Jelly, Russell Ivanovic. And we're also going to talk about Android phishing, the HTC Vigor, and in the arena we are all talking about SMS replacement apps. So I'm very excited we're all here.
Yeah, it's cool. It's weird. Like, yeah. And Jason's not doing anything. He's just focused, he's dedicated. And,
it's still a little bit of a transition for me. I still actually kind of enjoy the being behind technology aspect of being at the control panel because I have somewhere to hide if I need to.
We can get you a mock switcher if you want. It's not hooked up to anything. And you can just sit here and you can switch.
There you go.
We can make that happen, I think.
All right. I think we'll have to work on that then.
Okay, well, we've got a lot going on, so let's go ahead and get into our news.
All right, so first up, this is actually a story that...
Whoa.
That was interesting. I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, Jason, the cool transitions.
I know. You've got many cool transitions.
I guess I wasn't expecting that. So first things first, there was a... over the weekend there was DEF CON, the conference, which if you don't know what DEF CON is, it happens in Vegas. And it's basically more or less it's kind of a hackery conference, kind of going in, revealing, you know, hackers kind of come out of the woodwork and reveal to each other vulnerabilities of certain systems, platforms, all that kind of stuff. Well, you have to imagine that Android's going to be under the microscope at DEF CON. And over the weekend, researchers revealed that they had discovered a flaw within the design of Android that basically allows for apps to take the focus from other apps and... ultimately, they can pretty much display anything they want. And it's kind of hard to conceptualize. But essentially, right now in Android, if you are using an app that's in the foreground and a background app wants to do something, it's going to pop that notification up in your notification bar. That's like the kind of sanctioned or the way that it's supposed to work. Well, what they're realizing is there's a part of the SDK that actually allows an app to basically commandeer the focus over the top of what you're using. And I guess the possibilities with something like this is if, say, you're on, you know, you're on a web app or, you know, basically using your browser to go to, say, a bank. Bank site, and if this app that has this kind of built into it recognizes that and the kind of criteria is met, it can basically flash itself into the foreground but mimic what you're looking at. So there has to be a little bit of foresight and forethought into how it mimics the app, from what I understand, but ultimately, you know, that could happen, or it could just be as annoying as like a simple pop-up that appears. Google spokesman responded by saying that switching between applications is a desired capability ability used by many apps to encourage rich interaction between the applications, and that they haven't really seen any of these apps maliciously using this technique yet. But they also kind of pointed out, like, for example, Visadon, which I've never used their app lock app, but essentially it uses things like facial recognition technology to prevent unauthorized access to parts of other apps. So if you're using another app and you try and, you know, go somewhere with it, it would then come to the foreground and say, all right, we need to identify you before you can move forward. So that's a way of
being used in a good way.
Very futuristic.
Yeah. And finally, Nicholas Prococo, who was one of the researchers, basically kind of replied to that, saying that application switching isn't actually the issue. The real issue is the ability for other apps to identify which app is in the foreground. And like I said, decide to jump in and kind of mimic those things. So,
and I mean, the concept isn't, I mean, back, remember years ago on the web when there were phishing sites that would mimic, you know, the form fields of like event invitations and things like that, and people, you know, like the concept isn't that. The difference is just with the apps, you can't tell what's going on behind, you don't see an address bar on the browser window or something like that, so it's a little more dangerous, but but it's, I don't know, it's clever, but...
It says, well, they say that there is a visible kind of flash when the switchover happens. So I guess if you're really looking or you know what to look for, it's possible to kind of spot it.
Right.
But
how many people know what to look for?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, 99 times out of 100, you know, it doesn't matter if it doesn't work for those 99 people. All it really needs to do is work for that one person for something bad to happen and for them to be happy that they did it in the first place. So,
yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Like Google said, there's nothing in the Android market that takes advantage of this yet. You know.
Yeah. Well, good on you, those folks at DEF CON.
Leave it to those guys. They're the ones who keep me up at night.
I know.
Patrick Norton and I always talk about that. The stuff that comes out of DEF CON, I don't want to know about.
Yeah, and he says don't bring your computer to DEF CON.
Oh, no, right? Don't bring your computer to Nevada when DEF CON's going on. Seriously, like, you need to, like, lock it down. Don't go to Reno. Don't even bother.
It's
like, but in related malware news, there was some news going around about the an app that could record your calls surreptitiously. You know, I don't know if that's a word. But in the background, freaked everybody out, and everyone, you know, we're looking at this article here that the app is actually not in the Android marketplace.
Okay.
So you can relax a little more. The chances of these apps getting out there, getting on your phone, if you are allowing third-party applications to go on your phone, there's a bit of a chance if you don't know where you're downloading. But if you're going through the Android marketplace, that app is not there. So that's the kind of key thing to take away from that. So that's a little safe from that regard. But be careful what you install, because if it's not coming from Google Android marketplace or the Amazon App Store, when we're going to get into this a little bit, but it, you know, if it's not verified, you never know what might happen. So that's why you got to be careful a little bit. But also related to that, the app Lookout, which is the security application, found that mobile malware has increased significantly with Android users, 2.5 times as likely to encounter malware today than just 6 months ago. And I think that just has to do with the number of phones in the market. I mean, the flood of Android, you know, 6 months ago, there weren't as many Android phones there. And so now with that much many more users, there's that much chance of running into malware. So, but everyone should be careful always.
Yeah, and go ahead and download Lookout, which actually, every time you download an app, it detects whether or not there is some sort of malware issue, and it's a really handy app, and it's free that I reviewed some weeks ago.
But yeah, they estimated about between half a million and 1 million users were affected by mobile malware, which I've never run into anything. And I thought
that,
like,
you know of.
That I know. I would just think that in the law of average, like, one of us would have run into something. I've never been like, ooh, I got one.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we know what we're doing, but I've got third party apps enabled and I install APKs and all that, you know, but admittedly from trusted sources, but still, like, I've actually never seen mobile malware in the wild.
I wouldn't say that I necessarily download any apps from untrusted source. Well, I guess I can't really say that because sometimes I do beta installs, like SwiftKeyX, for example, which, I mean, I trust SwiftKey. You know, they're a big name in the market. So, you know, going to their site and being part of their beta program and installing their app that's outside the market, I guess, doesn't give me much pause. But then at the same time, I still kind of fall into the category of when I install an app from the market, I, as much as I would love to say that I look at, you know, those permissions thoroughly and everything.
It, never,
I mean,
yeah,
it's the same thing I do with TOS when I download software. I just kind of click through it.
It's the Eddie Izzard thing. Did you ever see the Eddie Izzard stand-up thing where he's like, you update your software, you get terms and conditions, and it's like, I agree to the software, I'll sell my children to you. And it's like, right. agree. Yeah.
Whatever, I just want to play with it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes to all.
But so I don't know. And I feel like we're always, you know, there's always this malware threat. And
it's ever present. I mean,
I just feel like it's a broken record. And it's like, okay, you guys know what you got to do, right? You do, right? By now?
There are a lot of parallels to social, I mean, with STDs and all these things like that. I mean, we know what you got to do. Just be safe. You know what I mean? Like, take precautions and, you know, and protect your phone and...
You went there.
Well, I'm just saying it's very the parallels are there. I mean, it's the same kind of language, and it's the kind of like the, you know, unfortunately, you know, like you got to watch out for yourself. It's a dangerous world out there.
We're on fire tonight.
We are. We're together. Look out.
And so let's go ahead and bring in our guest, Russell Ivanovic. Did I say your name right, Russell?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, well, okay. Excellent. And you are the developer and co-founder of ShiftyJelly.com. You're in the news a little bit since a, I think, now famous blog post. So before we get into the blog post, I just want to let everybody know that your app is called Pocket Cast, right? You have the better demo, Jason.
I can show it, Tony.
And if you don't mind kind of just telling everybody, like in, I don't know, 30 seconds or whatever, how long, I mean, just a little bit about your app. And we are going to show it here.
Yeah, so the idea of Pocket Cast is we both listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of Twit ones, a lot of other networks as well, and we're just after a way to kind of get those on the go. So you can use Pocket Cast, you can subscribe to all your favorite sort of podcasts, and then they kind of just appear, you know, as new shows become available, they kind of appear down there. You've even got, Tech News Today is the podcast of the week this week. So.
Hooray!
There you go. That's not on purpose, by the way. I didn't know we were coming on the show when we...
Totally coincident.
Well, very cool. Yeah, and I like that you could stream it or you can download the app, and you've got a nice big collection of, podcasts on, and podcast networks, us being one of them, which is great.
Yeah, I got to admit, after recently dropping my iPod and moving to the phone, I've been trying to use Google Music, and the podcast, it's miserable with podcasts. So I downloaded this, and I'm going to start using this app.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's your app in a nutshell. But let's talk a little bit about some of the controversy. Now, the what I love is your headline to your blog post, which was written on August 2nd. Amazon App Store rotten to the core. Wow. I mean, I don't think you could get any more
eye-catching,
descriptive than that, right, Russell?
Yeah, I think to be fair, we're trying to be a little bit sort of sensationalist with the headline. We tried to make the rest of the article kind of balanced and explain our experience. But yeah, we were trying to attract attention. The inference there is that Apple, people used to complain about the Apple Store a lot, so we were trying to sort of work that in there with the whole Apple Core thing.
Okay, so basically, just sort of to surmise this, your app was a free app of the day. And you were initially, as what everybody thought, was told that you would get 20% of, the sales, even if you did the free app of the day. And then you were notified that not. And then there was a little bit of a struggle between you and your partner whether or not you were actually going to put your app as the free app of the day for Amazon. And ultimately, you decided yes. And sort of the windfall from that was not very much at all a win. And your post describes in very much detail how upset you are with the situation and what kind of, shook down from that and, some of the money that you didn't earn and how you won't see. I guess my first question is sort of a consensus from G+ when I posted about it is that, a lot of people were like, well, you knew about the terms. So what do you say to those who point out that you did know about the terms before agreeing to them?
Yeah, so I think maybe a little bit of our blog post kind of got lost in translation. Our main beef isn't really that we didn't get paid. It's that when we first signed up with Amazon, every developer gets an agreement they have to sign. And that agreement says that should we ever give your app away, you get 20% of the asking price. So that's the public agreement. Everyone kind of knew about that. It was kind of publicized. It was a good thing for developers if you ask us. And then before they actually featured us as the free app of the day, they came to us with a private email and said, look, if you want to get featured, you have to agree to 0%. And that's kind of what caused the conflict here in the office. Like, my business partner and Philip were kind of, and I were kind of arguing about it, you know, should we, shouldn't we? And I agree what people say. Like, in the end, we did chose to take their sort of agreement. And, you know, we do deserve what we get. We're not sort of complaining about that side of things. But I guess our real beef was that no one seems to know about that. Every single person we talked to, you know, over email and Twitter and whatever else, all seemed to be under the impression that Amazon was actually paying developers to be free app of the day. And we're not even really saying that there's not some benefit to that. If you have some kind of game with, you know, downloadable content, or you have some kind of app with ads in it, or you just, you know, think that exposure would be a good thing, it might not be a bad thing to be the Amazon sort of free app of the day. But I guess we were trying to just outline exactly what happened to us, because before we made the decision to say yes, you know, we kind of Googled it, we looked around, we couldn't find a single other developer that had ever talked about it. And I suspect that's because Amazon has a quite sort of stringent non-disclosure agreement about all that sort of stuff.
If they have this non-disclosure agreement, what is the downside to you going so public with this? Is there any? Have they given you any sort of repercussions around your apps in the Amazon App Store?
I guess we were a little bit lucky because we made the decision to pull out of the Amazon App Store anyway. So we figured, right, you know, it was worth the risk. You know, get sort of, you know, describe to people exactly how it works. Maybe, you know, even violate, you know, a bit of that agreement. And, you know, the worst case, you know, we get kicked out of the Amazon App Store, which we kind of wanted anyway. So I guess that's another reason why we weren't, you know, as concerned about that.
Okay. Well, that actually clears up one of my questions, which was, you know, was it just a problem with the agreement itself, or was it some sort of a bait and switch type aspect, which is actually exactly what it kind of sounds like. You agree to one thing and then they tell you something completely different. Obviously, that's an improvement that Amazon should make around their app store. I mean, have you heard from a lot of other developers that have encountered this same thing and kind of said, thank you for bringing this to light?
Yeah, we have. We tried to sort of contact developers beforehand and we didn't really sort of hear from any. But yeah, since then we've definitely got a lot of emails from developers that have done it and that were thinking about doing it. And, you know, both sort of camps, they were like, you know, thanks guys for bringing it to light. Probably the only developer that we've heard from that still thinks it might be a good thing is, I think, the guys that make Field Runners. I think Alec was his name or something like that. And he's like, you know, we have a game, you know, exposure is good for us, so we're still probably going to do it. So I guess it's one of those things, you know, as a developer you have to weigh it up. But also as a developer, it just really angered us that we couldn't talk about it. You know, it just seemed wrong that someone can come to you and say, you know, hey, if you want to be featured, how about accepting sort of nothing? And then also how about not ever telling anyone about it as well?
Yeah, totally. Well, it's interesting that you mention Field Runners, because we actually, Eileen, you put a call out to Nick Gotch, who we actually had on the show
a couple of weeks ago,
and he joined us for the whole show. And he's one of the developers of Field Runners, for those who don't know. And he sent us a pretty lengthy email kind of explaining his thoughts on it. But here's just a few excerpts that we thought were kind of interesting. He says, the problem they're talking about with Amazon is true. Despite the public notice that leads people to think devs get paid for the free app, they don't. We saw a tremendous spike in downloads for the free day, and we're not paid for it. The free app system helped us seed our brand, something we really wanted to do before hitting the core Google market. As you may remember, they came over from iOS, much in the same way that you did, actually, with Pocket Cast. He said, also, we've always planned to release pay downloadable content to help recoup some of the lost revenue from the free downloads, which is exactly what you were saying, Russell. And finally, he finishes with, if you understand how it works, Amazon is pretty useful as a marketing machine, also providing a free outlet for users on Android, and this is a point that I hadn't thought of at all, helps to counter some of the serious piracy issues on the platform. It gives people more of a legitimate way to experience these apps, these paid apps, for free without, you know, turning to the piracy, which I would imagine would just be beneficial to developers to have at least a little bit of a sense of control over the release of that versus being completely out of control in the piracy market. So
Just what would it take for you to actually go back to the Amazon App Store? Is that completely out of the question?
Yeah, a few people have sort of asked us about that, and there's a lot of sort of underlying technical issues that kind of annoy us about the Amazon Store as well. Like one is that they control your price completely. So we ask for our app to sell for $2.70, but they can they can sell it for whatever they want. They can sell it for $10. They can sell it for 99 cents. And another really strange thing is that they actually control the description as well. So we provide them with a sample description. We say, hey, look, we think this best describes our app. But then they go through and basically kind of rewrite the whole thing, I guess, and how they feel. And as a developer who really, I guess I'm a bit of a control freak in some sense, I really want to be able to control that sort of thing. And then there's other things, like we don't get sort of bug reports and things from them. We don't get a lot of other features that we do on the Google market. And then there's also the lengthy review time. So we often have people emailing us saying, you know, it's really deceptive that, you know, you have one version in the Google market and that version's not in Amazon. But really all that's happening is Amazon are just taking their time to approve the app, whereas with the Google market, it just goes in instantly. So,
interesting. So now I also know, have you heard about GetJar? Is your app in GetJar by any chance?
No, it's not. But the guys who run GetJar have actually contacted us and said, hey, look, would you like to be featured, you know, with us? I'm not sure if they're kind of discussing the deal that they have going at the moment or not, but it sounds like they're trying to do something similar to Amazon, but actually pay developers at the same time. So
yeah, they've got some gold tier and they're offering some paid apps for free as well, and I don't think any of the details or have been sort of announced yet, or at least it's not out there yet. Do you have a question?
Yeah, so post all this, after the blog post came out and after this, and you pulled it from Amazon, have you seen, what is the reaction to the application been after all this? Have you seen an increase in downloads on the Amazon side? Are you getting more sales now? Did this really kind of bolster your sales, or is it kind of steady to what you're seeing before you're in the Amazon deal today?
Well, this is the really strange part of it. So I guess the part of the data that we never posted were our Google sales, which are always reasonably healthy. Like, people kind of looked at our Amazon sales and said, you know, you must have a rubbish application, you know, no one's downloading. But it was always doing quite well in the Google market. And the amazing thing is once that blog post actually got picked up, our Google sales picked up, even our iPhone app sort of sales picked up, which is a really strange one to me. And I guess the best thing about the whole thing has been the amount of people that have emailed us and said, look, you know, I had no idea that, you know, you guys weren't making any money from this. I've deleted the Amazon version and I've gone and bought it from the Google market, which I think is is amazing, you know, really to see how many sort of people out there care. Because a lot of people, and especially because we come from the iPhone world, a lot of people say, you know, Android users, they don't want to buy apps, they're cheapskates, they're this, they're that. But really, like, we've kind of seen the opposite. Like, there's so many people on the Android platform that really want to support developers and want to do whatever they can to make sure that, you know, these quality applications keep sort of coming up.
And I think that's the key, is quality applications. Yep. And that's Absolutely. What we haven't seen until, you know, this year. And we're seeing a flood of them coming, you know, to the Android marketplace, like your app. And that's what people will pay for. So, and is there anything that you could kind of shed light upon in terms of developing for iOS versus Android, per se?
Yeah, so the interesting part there is we started on the iPhone. We kind of were on that almost day one. And we've had a very successful application here in Australia, like a weather application that a lot of people use. And over time, we've kind of seen all the, you know, the news about Android and whatever else. And we're actually Java developers by trade. So the native language that I guess all the apps on Android are written in, we know really well. You know, we've done it for 8 years. That was used to be our day job sort of thing. So we kind of looked at the platform and we thought, you know what, this is, it's kind of worth trying. Like, we did our Australian weather app initially as an experiment, and that went quite well. And so we thought, why don't we try Pocket Casts? You know, we're Java developers. You know, we know this sort of in and out. And I think the problem is we maybe underestimated how hard it was. You know, we finished the initial version of the application probably in about 3 weeks. There was kind of two of us, you know, working maybe sort of 50-hour sort of weeks and things like that. But the problem with Android is once you put it out there, there's hundreds of different phones. There's lots of different operating systems. There's even some really weird things, like, you know, something will crash on a Verizon update of a Droid X, and that's like an operating system we don't even get access to here in Australia. So it's really hard to do the quality control. And we saw that, you know, initially when our app went out on Amazon, all these people got it. And for the majority of people, they said, you know, yeah, awesome app, thanks for that. But a few people, you know, there was issues with Samsung phones that they shipped with like a completely different version of some media player libraries that some other phones, you know, ship with. There was issues with some of the Motorola phones doing sort of weird things with the headphones sort of up and down controls. And there's all these little really niggly things that, as a small developer, you know, we can't afford to buy 600 different handsets and test it on every single one. And so that's the testing side of things has definitely been, you know, something we weren't expecting. The amount of sort of, you know, little sort of issues, and you try and track them down, but it's very hard. You know, we only have, we've got the two devices here, you know, that we test on, that we pay for ourselves. We've got obviously Google's emulators, but it's very hard to make sure that, especially something that plays audio, just to make it sure that it works on every single phone out there, sort of thing.
Yeah. And there's a lot of new devices, you know, like
every day,
continually coming out. Hopefully, flavors. Ice cream sandwich fixes,
yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, well, at least addresses this. You know, imagine if you had to buy every single Android handset out there, we'd be broke in a week. And you know, with Apple, it's a lot easier. You've got you know, the four different iPhones that have come out. You've got, you know, the iPod Touch and the iPads, and we've got all of those. We've got every single one, so we can plug them all in, and we can. You know, when we put an app out there, we can be a lot more certain that it's going to work.
Yeah.
What's your advice to other developers out there, mainly indie developers, in terms of, you know, what promotion or, you know, putting your app out there in various marketplaces?
I think it's never good to sort of tie yourself just to one market. Like if you've got the resources to try sort of iPhone and Android development, it's probably worth trying both. I mean, in our experience, we've definitely made the majority of our income on the iPhone, but you know, that could just be a historic thing on there as well. Like, we've been on there for 3 years, you know, we're quite sort of well known in Australia, and I guess one of the whole benefits of Android and the whole Amazon thing is that, you know, now perhaps our name's a bit out there, you know, in the international market as well. Like, you know, before no one had heard of us, that, you know, people mispronounced our name, they thought it was quite funny, and maybe now, like, a few more people at least know who we are. So if you have the resources, you know, try it. But I guess the real thing to consider is don't sort of jump into things too quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure that you know that once you commit to an app, you actually have to support the app. So you have to answer the emails, you have to make updates, you have to, you know, work hard on making sure it's a quality experience. And maybe that's something we've done a bit too much of in the past. We've kind of jumped in sort of too quickly. We've kind of developed these apps and then we've gone, oh, you know what, now we have to spend all this time, you know, updating it, adding new features, answering emails, all that sort of thing.
Awesome. Russell, thank you so much for joining us today and talking with us. And, you know, welcome back. You're welcome anytime to come back to the show. We'd love to talk to you again.
I'd love to, definitely. I listened to the first episode of your show, and Steve says hi, by the way.
Oh, he's been there the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
Judging.
Just kind of like over my shoulder, just making sure I don't say anything sort of bad about the world.
Hey, maybe Russell. Slaps me over the head, you know. Russell, really quick, if you could just give a quick plug for whatever you want, for the audio listeners especially, because they're not seeing the lower third. Where can people find you and the work you do?
So obviously our website is shiftyjelly.com, just all one word. We've got our app, Pocket Casts, on Android. And if you're in Australia, we've got Pocket Weather Australia as well. So, yeah, you know, check out our website, check out the app. You know, let us know, send us an email if there's things you want. Or even if you want to abuse us, like, feel free. We don't mind. Like, we get all sorts of emails, so it's good fun.
Awesome.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks
again,
so
Russell.
Much.
Good luck.
Oh, thank you.
Bye, Russell.
See ya.
All right.
I like that he did prop comedy. That's good.
I know.
That's good. Yeah, we need more prop comedy.
That isn't comedy. Yeah. That was real.
Yeah.
You hadn't seen that yet, Ron?
No.
Steve was actually there. Kind of spooky.
Okay, before we, let's just go ahead. We got one email I wanted to talk about here, right?
Yeah, quick email. Mike from Washington wrote in with the issue that literally I was just talking about this weekend to a friend of mine. Mike says, I use my phone for both work and personal calls, and I was wondering if I can keep my contacts separate. I don't want to have to search through all of my work contacts to find a personal one. I don't know if it matters, but I have about 170 contacts on the business side. And I was out this weekend with a friend of mine who works in sales, and she literally has a contact database of over 2,000 people around the world and maybe 40 people in her personal life.
Right.
And she's like, I don't have to scroll through everybody. How do I separate them? And it was the kind of thing I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I started looking up apps on the Android marketplace, and there was a lot that got very low ratings. Yep. So I don't even want to talk about those. But Jason, you might have
did some digging.
Right?
I put out a call on Google Plus, as I seem to like to do a lot lately. But it really helps. I mean, people, you know, the collective hive mind knows a lot more than I do. That's for sure. I got a lot of responses. It turns out, you know, a lot of people have their regular overlays that come, like a Sense overlay or a Moto Blur or whatever, and they allow you to do things like grouping your contacts and everything.
So there's a pro for those overlays, for those bloated overlays.
What's that?
That's a pro. Like, that's a
sometimes.
It gives, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know, because normally I hear Moto Blur, I'm like, oh, get that off, get that crap
off. Right. But they add in functionality that might not exist in the stock dialer. Tony, if you go to my screenshot, I have, let's see here, on the stock vanilla dialer, if you go to your menu and you hit display options, and you'll get all of your different email addresses. Anyways, you'll get all your email options. And see, this is the hard thing about doing dialers is you reveal everything.
So basically, if you go to the, on the PC side and you manage your contacts through google.com/contacts and you set up a group, and then so you got to do that on the PC. So you can't set up the groups on your phone. That's the one thing I found on a, I was on a discussion forum and I found this similar thing. Set up the groups on the PC, go to your phone, go to display options, then it allows you to pick the account, and then you can identify the different groups that you want within your contacts, and that's how you keep them separate.
Yes, so exactly. I guess, so in theory, you can do this through your stock dialer. In practice, though, it just seems a little convoluted. Like, if you want to just quickly only show your work email or your work phone numbers, your corporate contacts, then you have to go into this menu, click through, deselect all the things that you'd selected prior, and then, you know, go back and switch it again. It's just... It's a kludgy workaround. It's not that handy.
And so, I mean, this spurred us looking at other apps that manage contacts and things like that and other dialers. So we're looking to it closely. But if you really need to do it, here's at least how you can do it if you want to.
Right.
So someone make an app out there, okay?
Yeah, make a good one.
Yeah, I mean, and there are plenty. If you go to the Google Plus link and you find it in the show notes, twit.tv/AAA, it'll be posted there eventually.
And it's
you can see a lot of different apps that, you know, you can do similar type things. But I don't know, the ones that I played around with, they weren't the best.
Yep. And somebody just pointed out in the chat room, I want to call out because they're absolutely right. Go to google.com/contacts on a web browser. Don't go to your contacts through Gmail or through, because with Google Plus and with Gmail, the accounts are just chaos right now. Mm-hmm. But google.com/contacts, I'm in there daily. Like, that is one of my most used Google apps, is just slash contacts, because I'm in there adding phone numbers, updating information, stuff like that. It does its job really well, but don't go through Gmail. Just go straight to the URL. So
yeah,
there you go.
Awesome. Well, let's take a quick break and thank our first sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. I'm actually a very recent convert to Audible. I've been with them for a couple of months and I love them. I'm pretty much addicted to audiobooks right now. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. You can find just a ton of stuff there. For listeners of All About Android, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. And I got a selection that I finished recently. It was Keith Richards' Life, and it was really long, but it was fascinating.
Did he read it?
No, he doesn't read it. Johnny Depp reads parts of it.
Oh, we talked about this earlier.
Yeah, because I had started it. Johnny Depp reads part of it. I can't remember who reads the rest. It's really kind of interesting how they switched the reader halfway through and then switched back to Johnny Depp. I don't understand why they did it. But I went into the audiobook a sort of kind of Rolling Stones fan, a casual Rolling Stones fan. And I came out of it with like this thirst for making music, because Keith Richards, on one hand, kind of tells you all the crazy things that happens in his life. And on the other hand, he gives you this real kind of musician's level insider look at how he makes music. You know, and it's fascinating.
I just finished reading, I could have listened to the audiobook, but I didn't. I'm sorry. But but I read it on my Bob Mould's autobiography did very similar. From Husker Du and Sugar, very musician's insight, recording, putting together an album, why the order of songs matter, things like that. Yeah, so you might want to check that out.
I will.
I'm pretty sure the audiobook is on Audible.
I can't get enough of those types of books, so I'll look for that. You can download, at least I know for a fact, you can download Keith Richards' Life for free, and another one of your choice, actually, if you go to audiblepodcast.com/android. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/android. Check it out. They have an awesome Android app.
Yeah, Tony, can you grab my screen here? I'm playing with the that's Jason over to me. There we go. So here's the app right here.
It's a nice app.
And, you know, I've got a lot of books here loaded. Some are not quite downloaded yet, but, I'm still reading In the Plex. And it gives you details on the app, you know, the chapters. I've bookmarked some. Well, have one bookmark.
Yeah, one thing I really like about the app is how it deals with chapters. It might be one long file that you've downloaded, but it has all the chapters built into it. Yep. It's just really neat how it does it.
And there's, you know, you can go to shop. You can find some news, and, you know, I think it's kind of funny are the stats, so I'm still a newbie on here. But I've just because I've used different phones with the Audible app, and apparently I am Audible obsessed. They also have badges, so once you start listening, you know, here and there, I don't know how I got this,
but
I listened for at least 7 days straight. So, and then you can brag about it on Twitter or Facebook. So they have fun little, you know, like Foursquare kind of badges that they have here. And then you get listening times and Audible titles.
Oh, wow.
And lots
cool.
of, yeah.
They give you charts and graphs
lots
and things.
Of things. Cool. Yes.
All they need are maps and then you're all set. Yeah.
So anyway, and here's the widget right here. You can see it at the top of my screen. The app is pretty darn cool.
Check that out, audiblepodcast.com/Android. And thank you for your support of Twit and all about Android. Audible, you're great.
Cool.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. Let's go to hardware.
Okay, this next story is just something fun. I am not a big proponent of surveys because I don't think a lot of them are really representative of what's really going on. And there's been this map floating around out there that says, do you live in an Android or iPhone state? And
it's just playing off of the whole red, blue state thing.
You know? Apparently, we are the yellow is Android, blue is iOS, and gray is BlackBerry, and the others are neutral. And we here in California are apparently an Android state.
California, Florida, Texas, Idaho.
States,
Idaho.
Big
oh, yeah.
States.
I've heard Android is huge in Idaho.
Oh.
Actually. Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yeah.
Huge.
Now,
everyone
what is
has
going
an Android
on
phone
with,
in Idaho.
With Portlandia and Oregon, okay? What is up with BlackBerry?
Yeah,
like in the middle of the two Android states.
I got to admit, I'm a little sad to see New York and BlackBerry, but that makes sense with all this financial for everything in the city and all that stuff. Yeah, but that's,
It should definitely be noted the JumpTap is a mobile ad network. They're the ones that ran this. Their network reaches 83 million mobile users, and so their results are skewed definitely around their ad network.
That's a really interesting use of their data, though. I don't think I've ever seen an ad network say these are where our impressions are coming. Like what platform? That's because they're basically registering every time they show an ad what device it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fascinating that they shared that information. So.
Yeah.
Go California.
And I think for somebody asked me about Hawaii, they're iOS too. So come on. Come on, Hawaii.
All right.
But anyways.
So in new hardware news, as we always keep track of the new phones that are coming out for Jason, the Samsung Conquer 4G is headed to Sprint. It's coming up on this August 21st, so just around the corner, and you can get it for $99.
That's like a bargain these days.
$99.99. So the phone features a 3.5-inch touchscreen, so it's one of the smaller size of phones. It's not the big movie displays. 3.2 megapixel rear-facing and 1.3 megapixel front-facing camera, and it's going to sell for $99 after a $50 rebate. So if you're curious as to why it's so cheap, a little smaller screen, the cameras aren't as sharp.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of trade-off, but you're looking for an entry-level phone to get in, you know, for a cheap price, $100.
You can do much worse.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay, also supposedly confirmed is the Samsung Hercules.
That's a name.
Hercules.
That's a name. That's how you name a product.
As long as it doesn't mean that it's like really big and chunky. And
well, it does. It looks
heavy.
Okay. So this is supposed to be a variant of the Samsung Galaxy S2, which I have, and it looks very different. Look at that curved back.
Similar to the Nexus S.
But it says Galaxy S2, so that confuses me just a little bit.
But isn't the Nexus S just the Galaxy S, Galaxy
more
2S?
More power?
Yeah,
but if you look at the shape of it, here you go.
Yeah, true.
Different.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can grab us.
We're just doing this here.
Hey, Tony, check us out. Oh, there we go. So see the back? I mean, there's a little.
You got a little bit of the lip.
Yeah,
they really like that.
Much.
They really like that, don't they?
Yeah.
You can see right there.
Motorola likes the lip too.
Yeah.
It's a dual core, 4.5-inch Super AMOLED plus screen. It has all of the. It sort of indicates all of the same specs that I have on my phone. But it just looks a little different. The front looks like the Nexus S as well. So, apparently it has been confirmed, and I don't think we're going to see it till later this fall. So, There you go.
All right. Well, while I was away, as you know, I can't stay disconnected from things.
As we found out.
It was hard for me to not like want to, you know, open Pulse and check out Android news and, and stuff like that. In fact, it was impossible for me to avoid looking. I just couldn't do it. So you talked last week about the Bionic and the potential release date of September 8th, I believe. That's actually a month from today, by the way. But what about the HTC Vigor? You guys didn't talk about it. Now, the Stratosphere, actually, I should mention, Samsung's Stratosphere is being heralded, rumor at this point, nothing confirmed, that it's possibly the Samsung Galaxy S2 for Verizon. So we'll see what happens there. But the HTC Vigor jumped off the page at me, all right?
I just kind of laugh at Vigor.
Yeah, no, so the name isn't the best name in the world. But maybe it'll change your mind when you see that rumors say that it's dual core 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon, 1280 by 720 HD display, and then Android 2.34.4, which I'm... Yeah, whatever. That's cool that it comes with that, but I'll probably just root and ROM it anyway. So who am I kidding? That's probably what I do anyways. But anyway, so the HTC Vigor, and it's essentially it's rumored to be the replacement for the Thunderbolt, which is strange in the sense that the Thunderbolt kind of only recently came out. Mm. It hasn't been out that long. So if that's the case, that's Verizon kind of giving up on the Thunderbolt pretty rapidly. But also that would mean that it, by all accounts, would run on the LTE network. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the battery would be better. I don't know. Like,
and you're really? This might be the one.
He's all nervous. You can see, he's sweating. Look at him.
Oh, God.
Well, it's just, I feel like I changed my mind a lot, and I'm sure you guys do too. But here's the thing.
Oh, I never did. I've been committed to this font. Sorry.
No. I feel like you guys think that I changed my mind a lot too. Not that you change your mind. But I'm kind of all over the map here.
You do a lot of research. Yeah. You want to make sure you're making the right purchase. It's a commitment.
I get it. A new phone comes into the, to the array, and you're like, whoa.
It's like the light just was sort of shining, hey, Bionic.
Hey. And then, Vigor. Wait, Bionic. I'm the Vigor. I'm coming.
You know what Bionic has that the Vigor, I don't think, will, if it's anything like the Thunderbolt? A chin.
Yeah.
See? Well, actually, the Bionic, I don't know if it has much of a chin, but if it's got enough of a chin compared to the sleekness of the Thunderbolt. Wow. So we'll see what happens.
Damn you, Vigor.
I'm just trying to make the Vigor sound a little better for dramatic effect.
I'm just going to be mad because we're going to lose the bet.
I know. Well, I didn't see the Vigor coming.
I got blindsided by the Vigor.
It's like a Boston song. Blindsided by the Vigor.
Blinded by the Vigor. Sorry. Okay.
All right. It's time. Let's move on to the apps segment. Let's get out of here.
All right. So last week we were talking about video chatting applications in the arena, and I talked about Skype, and I got bombarded by all of you with tweets and Google Plus posts and everything about the fact that Skype didn't work very well on all flavors of Android and things like that, the video chat. But... Tony wrote in saying that, he would love – he's a huge fan of Tango, the other app that we looked at, but would love to use Skype. But now he can Skype on his Thunderbolt, but only with the back-facing camera. Understands that's the issue with Froyo and wants to know if he can use the front-facing camera if it requires Gingerbread 2.34. And Skype did release an update.
But here's the thing. Skype still doesn't allow you to use the front-facing camera if you're on Froyo. If you're on Gingerbread, it's actually, from what I understand, I did a little digging, official support for front-facing cameras in Android came with Gingerbread.
Yeah.
So anything before that, there are apps that have figured it out, but they're kind of making that support themselves. And all that I can tell from reading this is that Skype chose not to,
They're just sticking with the stock
OS functionality. Maybe it's removing them from kind of the downside of trying to support all of these phones, through a workaround for a front-facing camera. Right. I don't really know the answer there, but I feel like an early leak of Skype video did allow for it. I may be wrong, but I feel like I saw some support for that online as well when I was searching around. So if that's the case, then why doesn't it now?
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that if they have to do it via workaround, they're afraid of a future OS update that then breaks the workaround. And so it's better to stay strict to the OS and not provide it and not have it offering, knowing that people are going to be migrated to the later OSs by either upgrading their OS or getting new phones.
Getting a new phone, And there are some people, Freebus in the chat room says there's a patch to get the front-facing camera working with Skype. So there are definitely, I mean, I'm sure if you went on XDA, the forum site, and searched around, you'd find someone who had patched Skype to make it work at some point.
So. I don't know if you can read this, but I just downloaded Skype, and you know, once you launch it, they list all of the new devices that it's available on. Thunderbolt, the Desire HD, Incredible. I mean, it just goes on.
Well, that's 17 new devices for it to be supported on. So, I mean, they're working to get it. Yeah, they're working to get it on all the phones out there. So, if last week you couldn't use it, maybe now you can. So, go check it out.
Yeah.
But the front-facing camera is still a bit of a question mark. So.
Well, here's one of those. Agree, Tony. Oh,
don't call 911. Don't call 911.
Agree. Okay, I'll accept. Okay, anyways.
So. All right, we'll move on to another email here. Mike Lewis wrote in and said, on episode 19, a question came up from an email sent from Corey about saving space on internal memory. As an owner of... Did I skip an email?
We cut one.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. I knew there was something ahead of me. Sorry to totally break the flow there. As an owner of a Nexus One, I have a similar issue, 512 megs of internal memory. I've also done the apps to SD movement as much as possible through Cyanogen, but I also use an app called Cache Cleaner. I've not heard from anyone if it's potentially harmful to running apps similar to running a task manager, and I've gotten pretty good experiences with running this every couple of days. It can free up to a couple of megs of space, which is vital if hovering around 20 megs of free space. Once it goes under that, my phone becomes quite the annoyance. At any rate, check around and see if anyone else is using it or if it's advisable. I think Cache Cleaner actually requires root, from what I understand. And I used it, months ago to test it out. It's not an app that I have installed on my phone and that I use regularly because, quite frankly, I just haven't run into any space issues on the Thunderbolt yet. And by the time I would, by the way, I'm probably going to be passing it off to my wife to get a new phone. Right. So I will be here for quite a while. But from what I understand, when I played around with it, it certainly worked. When I was on my Motorola Droid, this was definitely an issue. I needed to free up space. I was running up against that limit a lot. And I used Cache Cleaner a few times to kind of do it in bulk instead of doing it piece by piece. And it worked really well.
Yeah.
So Cache Cleaner, check it out in the market. That is that. Well, hey, let's do another ad real quick, and then we'll jump into the arena. This episode of All About Android is brought to you also by Netflix, which streams thousands of TV episodes, movies, all that stuff directly to you instantly, saving you time, money, and hassle. You've got a million different ways that you can get this live streaming. You can get it through an Xbox, 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii, Roku, Apple TV. You can watch it on your iPhone, on some Android phones. You can watch it on your PC. If that's how you enjoy doing it, or if you're traveling.
I actually did that. I have two monitors, and I had a little window up with no reservations while I was working, and so it works. Yeah, so.
Wow, watching movies while you're working. Yeah. I gotta look into that. I could use more distractions.
I just like the noise in the background. I work in my apartment by myself. It's more voices.
No, totally. Totally. I like that.
Yeah.
You can watch these shows instantly while using any of these devices. They just kind of have an app built into a lot of these devices that you can either download or comes pre-installed. And it really makes the whole process seamless and enjoyable. Mm-hmm. You can watch a show on one device and then finish on a different one, something I've never done, but
it
that's
works.
Pretty nifty. Yep. It works. Whichever way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many as you want, anytime you want, and you can cancel anytime. So it's time to get to our offer. Try Netflix today for 30 days for free. You can go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure to use this URL when you sign up for the free trial. It's netflix.com/twit. You can get 30 days for free.
They just added The Fighter. Which is so if you didn't get
that's
a great movie. It's a great
movie.
Christian Bale won for it.
Yep.
And Melissa Leo won for it. Yeah, so Academy Award winning film.
She did, didn't she?
She did. Or she won the Golden Globe. Maybe did she?
She won both.
She cursed on the Golden Globes. That's what I remember.
Yes.
But The Fighter's fantastic. I mean, if you haven't seen that movie, it was great. So definitely you can watch it streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, you can be watching that instantly. So check it out: netflix.com/twit. And that is that. Thank you, Netflix, for supporting us. All right, let's jump into the arena.
To enter, one lives. Android Arena.
All right, so we're in the arena. Last week, I wasn't here for this episode, but I did listen. You guys discussed video chat apps.
We did.
And
it got heated.
I think
it got heated.
I think the results will surprise you, Ron.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all.
Really?
I'm not surprised at all. Of course, I lost.
You wanted
I
to
thought
win.
You were,
so
I thought you were.
I thought I had a lock.
I thought you had a lock too.
The de facto chat, video chatting, Skype, it rules. Oh. But Jason Applebaum comes in with G-Talk.
He just rolls in on the backs of Google fans.
Different Jason. Not only does he deal with a different Jason, but he just knocks my app aside, and it's, you know. Whatever. What can I do? And we don't even have the poll ready. And I, you know, oh, it was,
well, you know, I'd say we'll give you an extra, a bonus 20 votes for the fact that you did the poll on the fly.
I know, you did it on the fly,
but you still didn't win.
And you also didn't have the 17 extra devices.
I did. If we did it this week,
like the day after we did the show,
exactly.
So for the audio listeners, G-Talk wins with 153 votes. Skype a second, not a close second, but not a distant second at 115 votes, and then Tango. Votes.
My pity votes. Thank everybody for the little pity votes. As somebody like, oh, poor Eileen.
Hey, there are Tango fans out there.
There are. The guy who wrote in was a Tango fan.
There's more
fan.
Than two than Tango.
I hope that's the guy who voted.
I'm sure he did. Keep telling yourself that.
But thank you for voting, everybody. Yeah.
So this week we're going to do some apps that I know, at least for me, I use it daily. SMS apps.
Yeah, this is an app category that we did when we were just getting the show started in our beta episodes. And honestly, I always avoided SMS apps like the plague because I'm like, no, I'm sticking with the stock SMS, whatever. And ever since we played with it in the beta, I have not looked back. Yeah, so the app I'm using is, if you go back, if you were one of the folks who watched our beta episodes, I'm still talking about the same app here. It's called Chomp SMS, and it's free in the Android marketplace, which is awesome. And I'm praying that somebody doesn't text me during this, but although you might want to text me so we can see what the pop-up thing looks like.
Does it show my number?
No, I don't think so. No, I just have names. Okay. Yeah. But so you can see it here, and basically what it does is what Chomp does is it replaces your the messaging app, and like all these applications, they replace messaging on your phone. It doesn't delete the default stock messaging, but instead what you can just say is turn notifications off on the stock messaging, and you route your SMS through this app. And it's a little complicated, but it's easy to set up. It's not really that hard. The reason why I like Chomp so much is because, well, first is that – I don't want to show people text messages. first is that if someone texts you, and you want to text me now.
I did.
So there you go. Not that one. There you go. So you can see. So you get this little pop-up window here that shows who it's from. If they have a photo in your contacts, they'll show the photo in the corner. I don't know why it's not showing your photo. But it gives you the text message here, and you can just respond straight from here. So you don't need to actually go into the application. So you can just, you know, you can just say, hey, if you can type. I can say hearty. And you can send. And you can say, no, okay. And so that's one thing I really like is so you're not going into the application. If somebody texts you, you can just look at it. If I'm out, you know, if I'm at a bar or whatever, I don't need to go into the app and drill down to the message and respond to it. I can just do it straight from the home screen, which is awesome. So you can add multiple recipients just like any messaging app. So that's pretty cool. But then on top of it, you can – they've got a whole bunch of stock kind of smileys. But then they also have the ability to have templates. I don't have any templates loaded because I just reinstalled this recently. But if you quite frequently say the same thing like be there in 5 minutes or I'm on my way or anything like that, all you got to do is hit that and then hit the templates button and you get your list of templates and then you can choose the templates and paste them in without having to type them the whole time. So it's really extremely powerful in that regard. And additionally, not only that, but the media management. So if you want to attach a photo – all you do is you down here you hit the menu, and you also if you hit menu you get the template options, as well as you can add smileys, you can add a subject, which is weird, but you can attach a photo very easily. It lets you choose where you want to do it from, do it from your pictures. I have my camera set to the high quality photos. And if you want to keep that, Chomp SMS will save the image down to a smaller size. So it's pretty powerful.
So it'll resize it on the fly.
Been super impressed with it, and you know, I once I installed it when we were doing it all those weeks ago, I haven't gone back to the default messaging. Huh. Yeah. So that's Chomp SMS. For me, the biggest advantage is the pop-up window on the home screen, as well as the ability to support the templates. So
nice.
Thank you, Ron.
All right, Chomp SMS. And mine, I've been using for quite a while now, hand-sent SMS. One of the ones that I just kind of heard about a lot when I wasn't very satisfied with the SMS, like the stock SMS that's built in the Android phone. And I mean, I've been using it for months and months. And I realized when I was kind of going through this to come up with the reasons that I like it, that what I use it for isn't nearly as deep as it goes. Like, I use it, the reason I really like it, and if one of you could just send me a text, it is for the pop-up kind of notification. It's just really handy, and you have three different ways that you can do it. Hopefully one will pop up here soon, but you can have this full kind of pop-up that takes up the screen and gives you all sorts of editing options on it. You can have a trimmed down version, and you can have one that's...
I don't have your phone number. We just talk on Google and on...
That's true.
It's crazy.
That's true.
Wow.
And Beluga. Oh, yeah. Well, we don't use that anymore. Well, I'll show other aspects of the app too. It allows you to do kind of the bubble type messaging that you might see on like the iPhone. If you look at the stock Android messaging, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's ugly. Ugly to me anyways. Yeah. I'll pull it up here to see if it...
Yeah, Chomp has the iPhone like bubbles as well too. Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't know. It's a little bit more textual and blurb based, but there's something about the visual splash of having the bubbles that I don't know. It's kind of lame, but I just kind of like to look at it. And for me, it's all about like, am I enjoying using an app and kind of the visual splash of it? It totally didn't do the pop up. That's really great. That's okay though. But anyways, what are the things that you can do with this? You can totally theme it. It has all this customization that if I go into the menus here, I can kind of show you. You can have custom styles that you assign per person or system-wide, and it actually gets really detailed. Let's see here. It has these different skins that you can apply right off the top. So if I want to switch over to the silver... Oh, that's right. This actually ties into something else. So Silver isn't installed on here, but there are a ton of downloadable plugins, fonts, languages, all supported on the market. So there's a really good kind of back-end support happening on the market as well if you really want to get into customization. But I'll go back up to the top here and just select iPhone New because I know that that's built in. And then it kind of changes the look of the app as you go in. It's actually pretty subtle on this one that I just switched to. But... you can do voice entry that's kind of built into the text, which I think is pretty handy. It also has a lot of the smileys and emoji, whatever. You know, those are things that I just don't use, but I'm sure there are a lot of people
really?
That love those.
I'm going to send you emoji.
Okay. You can also, like you said on yours, Ron, you can edit quick texts, which I actually have one that's leaving now. See you soon. I almost use that every single day when I leave from Twit so that my wife knows that I'm on my way home and it's going to be about 45 minutes instead of having to type that.
That's a template?
Yeah, she knows.
Oh, okay, because
she gets the same thing every single day.
Because I like it's got the exclamation point in there, so it's like it's got a little bit of enthusiasm.
Totally. It has built-in spell check, so you can spell check your text if you want to take the time to do that. Most of the people in my contact list just don't really care that much about misspelling errors, so neither do I. But it's just kind of handy all around. I just enjoy using it. I really wish that the pop-up would have appeared, but maybe
if you set another one, because you're in the app. The pop-up doesn't appear if you're in the app.
Yeah.
So you've got to be in another app and then...
Okay.
And then
we'll resend, and then Eileen, actually, you could send it and show yours.
That's doing two things at once.
Yeah, no.
Send it and show my... Yeah, well, the issue is that I don't want to send it with my personal...
Oh, okay.
Phone.
Yeah. I got you. All right, we'll move on, and if it comes up, then great.
This is what we're stumbling upon by doing...
I just sent it again. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, it's happening. It's all happening. This is what we've stumbled upon with doing a lot of these apps, is that we realize that these are our phones we use every day, and... We don't want to show you things that you might not supposed to be seeing.
There we go.
So
all right. So I have a pretty minimal version of the pop-up, obviously. Yeah. But there it is.
Well,
okay. Yeah. I will be doing a lot of editing, I believe.
So you're going to have to blur, yeah.
Blur.
Yeah.
That's okay. I have the power of blur. So anyways, go check it out. Hand sent SMS. One of the things that I would like to have in this that I couldn't find any time that I'm using it is to preview the notification. You have to wait to be sent something to actually see what that pop-up notification looks like.
Right.
That's kind of a pain. I wish the developer would program that in because that's something that you want to be able to customize in advance.
Absolutely.
But otherwise, I have really good results. Backup Restore is all there as well if that's important to you. So
cool.
There you go.
The one con to the pop-up notification that I found is much like what I frustrated with the desktop is stealing focus. is that I'll be playing a game and somebody will text me,
right,
and it will go back to the home screen, put up the pop-up, and I'm like, or like it'll come up over the game or something like that. So that's that,
you know, this yeah. this is probably
so I found the hard way.
This seems to be a working example of what we talked about earlier in that security story,
exactly
about that's an cool. app that's working in the stealing background, focus. Stealing the focus.
Stealing so. Focus is one of the most evil things at all with any operating system. It drives me crazy on the desktop. I'm sorry,
yeah,
it's one of my pet peeves. It drives me crazy. Don't take a, like the Google Calendar, what meeting invite?
Yeah.
Meeting,
oh, yeah.
Don't
I hate
take,
that.
I'm in the middle of writing something. Don't take it away. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Mini rant
yeah.
from Ron Richards. All right. Well, my app is Go SMS Pro. For those of you who remember, I did Go Launcher X. That's one of my favorite. That is my launcher currently right now. And I also downloaded Go Weather. I'm a Go girl, apparently.
Go, go, go.
So there we go. Go SMS Pro. It's free in the Android marketplace. And this is the pop-up notification here. And like the other apps, you can go ahead and instantly reply. But I'm going to go ahead. This is hard because I'm trying to talk and not move away here. I'm going to go ahead and show you the app. There's actually too many features. Darn. There's too many features for me to talk about. Just like in texting options. So here, I'm going to pick a number. What's nice here is that I don't see phone numbers. Blah. But I'm going to pick one that's for my dentist or my... Okay. Now, there's many options. Emoji as well. I know. It's just like, it's constant, right? I can't win here. Okay, so here's emoji. I've got many different kinds here. Look, oh, I've got animal emojis too. They love their emojis on Go. And then just trees and buildings and one of those.
So, but the problem with the emojis is that a user needs to be using the same application or have emojis loaded.
Yes.
That's why, like, a lot of times, like, for my iOS friends, I get these squares and I don't know what because they're giving
actually,
something.
Apparently, yeah. for Go SMS, the iOS people do see this.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah, cool. It's very interesting, but not all Android people will unless you're using the app.
Yeah.
Okay, and then of course you could do SMS or MMS, and you could actually even, I like the various options here. Here's for pictures, you could send pictures MMS, you could do videos, you can even record some audio, send a slideshow, lots of different options here.
A slideshow.
Yeah, you can do slideshows in your SMS, believe it or not. Other things that you can do, you can back up other services, you could actually encrypt some messages, which is interesting here. So I have encrypted one message or one user, and if you open up, I don't know, if somebody uses my phone and opens up, you could see other, you know, the last text from various people here, but the person that I encrypted here, nothing. So, and that's pretty easy to do. I'm going to go here. I'm going to tap here. And should give you an option. Darn it, maybe not this person here. But you can lock the message. You can one good thing too. I know that there was somebody who was asking me about encryption. So when I encrypt a message or a person, then there's my. I have to put a pin together, which is cool. I know there's a lot of people who need a lot more privacy than normal. You can schedule messages. You can put them in folders. You could actually also import with a. There's tons of plugins here, and one of the plugins is Facebook Chat. You could also do Go Chat, so other Go users, you won't be charged if you know that your friend also has Go, and you can just chat away.
Do you have to know that they are a Go user?
Yeah, you gotta know. Yeah, it's a different pain. You can choose to. I don't have anybody on Go. I don't think so. Anyways, let's see here. Facebook plugin chat. And the themes are really crazy. That's one big thing with Go Launcher. So I've got tons of themes. I usually use the purple one. I'm going to apply. And there you go. Now everything's turned into purple. But a lot of the themes, though, are like $1.99 or, 99 cents or whatnot.
Right.
So I don't really have time to go through all of the options that... that this SMS replacement app can do. But again, backup, security, filtering, more. There's a night mode. It goes on and on and on and on. But for the basic functions, I like having lots of options, and this one seems to have tons and tons of options. Oh. So, Go SMS Pro. And I'm not doing it right. There we go.
I'm going to jump back in on mine.
Yes, go ahead.
Because I feel like I didn't do it justice.
Oh, sorry. And
I
there's was also voice, too.
That's
voice
one thing I want to talk about.
And spell check, which I never use, but there are some more options for Go SMS. Is that
I was going to say, I was too worried about showing things, and I was playing with my app, and I saw that actually Chomp SMS has the ability to speak unread messages. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the car, you get a text message, it'll read it to you, which is nice. It also has a whole bunch of various different settings, and that's the one thing. These settings are so deep with so many different things you do. You can customize. Mm-hmm. You customize the list of messages, customize the main screen. You can show how many text messages you've sent on your main messaging screen. So if you have a limited text messaging plan, I can only send 300 per month. You can see how many you've sent so far with every message. So it's like, this will be your 301st. And so a bunch of neat little things that are deep within the application, which I didn't really do it justice. So I'm sorry.
I know.
I don't like going first. I'll be honest with you.
Seriously,
I don't like
it.
We need to draw straws. We need to do something.
Okay. Let's draw straws. But yeah, that's the problem with going first, because a lot of times I find, oh crap, mine does that too.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was doing.
Oh, can I add that mine does that too?
Mine, you can change the colors. It's totally cool. And you can, you can add emoji in mine, and you can,
emoji's better.
Yeah.
Well, here's the cool thing actually about this is that we're not using poll.cm for this poll.
Cool.
Yeah, this is
we're
cool.
using something different. It is called, let's see here. It is called Go Poll Go. You can go to, I created a tiny URL, tinyurl.com/AAApoll20. 20 is the episode number. So tinyurl.com/AAApoll20. And that'll take you to our new poll, Go Poll Go, which I can hardly say. The cool thing about this is you can vote as you've always been able to, but you can also comment. So it'd be nice to hear from those people that, you know, that
be nice.
The features that we did, yes, be nice. But the features that we didn't cover on these apps, you can go ahead and throw them down there. If we didn't cover an app that you actually really like, now you have a way to kind of add them to the poll so they aren't completely lost and limited to just the ones that we cover. But do vote if you're going to the page first, and then comment and let us know what else you have.
We are huge in Arizona.
Yeah, I don't know why there have been no votes. Why is Arizona highlighted?
Oh, you can see it start moving now.
It goes
crazy.
It does real time.
Yeah. It's it's real time.
Does it do it in real time?
Yeah, I don't know why it's not doing it here. But see on the bottom, it's showing the number of views. Yeah, so. But then also the map.
Views.
So
this is kind of cool. Wow, a lot of people joining the page that are synced up with GoPollGo already. So tinyurl.com/AAApoll20, and you can vote on these apps. And man, I'm sorry, you guys, that the demos are so hard to do when you're dealing with this kind of stuff. I think what we're realizing is that we have to set up some dummy accounts.
Yeah, we're talking about that before the show. We're going to set up some separate accounts with some dummy contacts and things like that. So it's a little safer. So you see 555-1212 and things like that.
We can freely go into these things, and we're going to have to do this by next week, right?
Yes, we do.
We will,
we're kind of digging our grave here. Next week, we are going to do contact replacement apps.
We're just gluttons for punishment.
This is like
you are our friend, you're not going to be happy about this.
we're sorry. Listen, I'm sorry.
Which isn't replacing our actual contacts and getting new friends. It's more, different contacts management software or apps. So contact replacement apps, we'll cover those next week. And
sounds good.
I'm sure we can come up with a few of those until then and come up with some dummy accounts to run them from. Yeah,
exactly. I've never even thought about getting a contact replacement app, honestly, but I'm excited to look at
some. I think it's curious, especially after some of those questions about managing contacts and things like that. I'm curious to see what's out there.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that is about it.
All right.
What do you think?
I think so.
Done.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well,
it's fun being together. I like it.
Yeah, I know. It's so much easier.
Yeah, I know.
So come up next week.
Yeah, come up every single week.
Buy me a car. I have a Kickstarter where you can buy me a car so I can be in the studio every week. No, I don't have a Kickstarter. I'm kidding.
But he might start one now.
Yeah.
So everybody can find me. You can go to about.me/RonXO, and all my links are there. You can find me on iFanboy, the comic book website that I help run, as well as Graphically, the company that owns iFanboy that I work for. And all my other fun stuff is up. So about.me/RonXO.
Nice. And how about you, Eileen?
Oh, you could just find me on Twitter at EileenTV. But actually, I'm much more active on Google Plus.
You have been, yeah.
Oh, I love Google Plus. So what is it?
G+.2/ EileenTV.
Yeah, EileenTV.
And I'm /RonXO there.
I love it over there.
And I'm /Raygun for that as well, as well as Twitter at Raygun. And that is it for this week.
Raygun01.
What's that? Raygun01. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm all frazzled from the arena. So that's it for this week. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. What would I do without you guys? Email and voicemail or a video mail. You can send us AAA at twit.tv. You can hit us up, the show, on Twitter at Android Show. Show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific and watch us fall down as we reveal too much information at live.twit.tv. Have a great week, you guys. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
I like this. The single shots of us waving.